There's a Bible teacher that's been real helpful to many in the body of Christ named R.C. Sproul, and he tells a story about driving down the road one day and listening to a description of the Hubble telescope being shot up into outer space in a rocket, and that telescope would give people a better look at how huge the universe is and the tremendous parts of God's creation. And he said, as he's listening to the description of that, one of the top scientists from NASA comes on and says something like this: 14 to 18 billion years ago, the universe by itself exploded into existence. And R.C. Sproul, who's driving his car, said his hands go up in the air and he says, well, that's impossible. And he almost drives off the road and wrecks. And he says to nobody in particular, I thought I was listening to a scientist and not David Copperfield, the magician, who would say that out of thin air, poof, not just a rabbit would appear, but the universe would appear. And there would be no hat from the magician, and there would be no magician to cause anything to happen. It would just happen, and there was no creator there, and therefore there was no meaning there or love there to touch what was going to happen. And so that threw Sproul off quite a bit. And you and I as sinful people are often reluctant to say, the Lord, He is God. In the passage that was read for us, five times God says, I am the Lord and there is no other. That God is the sovereign creator and ruler of all that has happened, creator of life, all that is happening now in our little hearts, and all that will happen. He is the Lord, and there is no other. And we have a reluctance to acknowledge that, I think partly because we don't know God very well. Secondly, we have a nature that says, I want to rule the universe, if not the universe at large, at least my own life. And so we highly resent the fact that God would be sovereign over all. Well, He's going to be sovereign over all, whether we want Him to be or not. And so the idea of sovereignty in the Bible is from beginning to the book of Revelation, when finally all acknowledge the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Simple definition of meeting God as a sovereign king is that God is in control. Sometimes that's said in a trite manner, but it's not a trite truth. It's a truth that requires to trust God for sure, but it also requires God to show us Himself. God is in control. God is sovereign. Do we want Him to be that way? Or do we mistrust Him? In Isaiah, when people come to meet God, and a passage describes lovely feet on the mountaintops, those who bring good news, the news they bring is this: our God reigns. God is in control. Our God reigns. That's something the Lord would tell us about Himself. He wants us to trust Him that in that way. He is that way. And so to yield our lives to Him and to follow Him that way is the goal of Scripture itself. Now, without a sovereign creator, there's no explosion of any kind in the universe or in our hearts to follow Christ. No explosion from the dynamite of the Holy Spirit to follow God when we say, no, He doesn't reign. I think God's sovereignty is rejected a lot of times in my life and the life of others because, first of all, it requires some humility to bow our knee and to say, God's in control. I am not. God's in control. You and I are not. That requires some humility. We're not good at humility. We're good at taking charge. But God says, He reigns. He is the Lord. There is no other. The second reason why we perhaps are hesitant to embrace God as a sovereign Lord is that you and I have a 3.5-pound brain. And so we have limitations on how we're going to understand and follow someone who is bigger than the universe itself. And there's no shame in admitting that. It is really healthy to admit that. We need God's help to know Him, to know He's in control, and to follow him. Also, often when our heart breaks and all that we see is pain around us, it's really hard to say, God is here, he's in control. We need his compassionate help to trust him in times like that. But God does say clearly in the scriptures, I form light. He got it all started. He'll get it all started with the relationship between you and him. He'll start it. You won't start it. Do you want him to start something with you? He will start it if you let him. He said, I create light. He also said, I form darkness. When we get too big for our britches, God forms darkness. He says, I create disaster that you might trust and follow me. And we are brought to our the end of ourselves and say we collapse exhausted into the hands of a sovereign God. We would be safe there. Look at that little Timothy Jacob here just about an hour ago. He was yelling and taking on parents for a little bit of food. That was good. He wasn't shy to do that. He ended up safe and provided for. We would be the same way in the arms of our sovereign God if we would but turn to him. God, the king of the universe, the king of our souls, if we would but yield to him. You know, in terms of God being a creator, there's a new business out nowadays, you may have heard of it on the radio, where you can name a star after a loved one for only $59.95. Some of you have run out of ideas on how to bless a loved one, you know, around Valentine's, and they're tired of chocolates and flowers, so, you know, do the star thing. For $60, they can get their name in a book that nobody will ever read. Name a star after them that you can't see on a cloudy night. And that's your attempt to gain significance in the eyes of a loved one. Or to have your loved one feel significant, you know. Humanity does funny things, silly things occasionally if you've done that. I'm sure it meant a lot to you and your loved one. But you think of the stars. Supposedly, for every one person on earth, there is 11 trillion stars in the universe that God has created. 11 trillion. So I could have 11 trillion friends and not run out of stars to name after them. That's quite a thing. That's twice as many people as there are on the earth. And God knows them all. He knows them by name. And he knows you by name. He sees the condition of your soul. And he says, I reign. I'm in charge. Would you yield to him? The universe is very big. But God is very, very big. Very, very big. Nothing's impossible for him, Jesus said. God knows the details of your soul. And he looks at us and says, I call you by name and bestow on you a title of honor. You think about that. Why should the sovereign universe honor us little fallen creatures? Well, he is love and he is light. And we do great damage to ourselves and we do sad, sinful, and sometimes silly things when we attempt to get honor or dignity based on what we do or what we accomplish or some group of relationships we have to tie into or we feel like we're going to be somehow left out of something, you know. Do you hear the phrase recently, left out of the loop, you know? You're never left out of God's loop. So you don't have to worry about any other loop that you want to be in. He says he calls you by name. He bestows on you honor and dignity that he can give you and no one else. He says, I will give you strength though you do not acknowledge me. You know, we don't pay God half the attention we need to pay him. One of our biggest sins is not glorifying God or worshiping him as creator. But he says, I will give you honor and dignity. I am God and there is no other. By his grace and mercy, he'd share his life with us. One of the great influences in my life early in my Christian days was a writer named Jonathan Edwards from back in the 1700s. He said, I love to think of God's sovereignty, God being in control of all aspects of life, particularly when things go wrong. And he said this because he really thought that Scripture said that God was like that. And secondly, when something would go wrong and break his heart and things would be just totally out of control, he couldn't even control his own heart. He said, to think of God being in control gave him comfort. And God seemed to be honored when he said, Lord, you're king at this moment. And with God's help, and just with the gentle but strong help of the Holy Spirit, could you turn things over to God in your life that are very painful and perhaps will never understand them this side of heaven? And commit those thoughts and memories and feelings to God and say, God, at that point, when I was wiped out, you held me. You were in control. And I thank you for that. And as you do that, God will comfort you. And God will get great honor about the faith that he will allow you to have in him. He loves us that way. He's glorified. He's sovereign. He knows the hardships we face. What the Lord creates, the universe and you and I, he controls. What the Lord creates, he sustains. So we could take heart, God will sustain us. And what the Lord sustains, he owns. You know, you owe your life to God. You and I think, you know, we want to do with our life what we really want to do. What God creates, he owns. And what he owns, he rules. And to rebel against that is just the essence of sin and going our own way. So could you yield your life to God afresh as sovereign? That's the way he is. Get in with what he wants to do. As the song said that Doug sang, he died and rose from the dead to take away sin. So we can know God as a friend and redeemer. What is stopping you from trusting and following Christ? Is it nothing at all except your stubborn will? To say, I surrender to Christ, I'll follow him. The most wonderful decision you could ever make with God's help. How can we honor God as a sovereign king? Three things we might put into practice in just so many ways. I think it has to do with heart attitude more than anything. You know, in the sovereignty of God, it's been said to try to understand the Lord totally, our mind is not capable. We'll lose our mind if we try to totally explain sovereignty, but we'll lose our faith if we try to explain it away. Often that's said about the Lord as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But how can we honor God as a sovereign creator? Let him take his rightful place. As the song says, all the best and worst of man won't change the master's plan. God's going to prevail. Here's some things we could do. Pray for God's blessing in our life. The criticalness of that. Lord, send your sovereign blessing. We are at his mercy, but his mercy is good. Many times I tell people, God bless you. And I say this not in a trite manner, or not because they've sneezed, or because I don't know what else to say. So Christians and pastors say, God bless you. So God bless you people today. But I say so because I know to be 100% true that if God doesn't bless people, that people are left under the justice and judgment of God. That's a very scary thing. If God doesn't bless you and I, we can't do anything. In fact, we are lost for all eternity. And so we say, Lord, please bring your blessing. We have no hope whatsoever. God says, I create darkness. I create disaster. He creates blessing and light. We love that. It says, I create darkness and disaster. If the devil should come after you personally this week and create darkness and disaster in your life, you have a defense. You could say, I'll take the shield of faith. I'll trust God. I'll resist the devil and he will flee from me. But if the Lord creates darkness and disaster in your life and my life, we have no recompense. We have no place to hide. We are at the 100% mercy of Him. And so when we say, Lord, send blessing, or we are sunk. Do you and I, do we fear God like that? For who He really is? Sadly, some people fear the devil more than they fear God. God is the sovereign ruler. He rules. He reigns. Might we put ourselves in His hand? Only He can bring blessing from our lack, whatever that lack is. He is the Lord and there is no other. The second thing you and I could do, besides praying for blessing, putting ourselves under His mercy, is to honor God as sovereign by surrendering our will to Him. This is a very precious possession we have, our will. Every time I go buy a pair of shoes and look at the 300 choices I have, I see someone has gone out of control with this freedom of choice that we have. To surrender our will to God, He made our will. And so it works best when we surrender to Him. And whether God acts or doesn't act, when things come into our life, we say, Lord, we surrender to You our understanding of things. We follow You. We want to trust You with Your help. I think of the word election that has to do with sovereignty a bit. We have an election, you know, often twice a year. And the big one with various officers and the President of the United States. And just to think of surrendering our will. Do you think we're going to elect, with God's wisdom, a leader of a country if we don't bow our knee to the sovereign God who is a Savior? You know, if I have a hard time dragging myself to open the Bible or to pray or even to come to worship, if I barely can do that, do you think I'm going to have the wisdom to go in a voting booth and vote for a president that's going to lead our country toward Christ? It's not going to happen. God's sovereign rule over the nations has a lot to do with God's sovereign rule over our lives. And as we surrender to Him, we're more likely to be blessed as a people in need of desperate blessing. In fact, not only just a leader of a nation, whether you or I, by the mercy of God and the blood of Christ, go to heaven or not. God has the final word on that. It won't be ultimately because of the sincerity of my decision. It'll be the mercy and grace of a loving Savior. Would you put your trust in such a one as that? He says, come to Me. If you're weary, I'll give you rest. Trust yourself to the Lord. Surrender your will to Him. You have plans for your life. Could you put them under God's will? It's very healthy occasionally to say, Lord, everything in my life, as little Timothy Jacob was dedicated, given back to Your hands, from my family to my thinking to my schedule, as if it's our schedule. Our times are in His hand, from our vocational calling in life. Lord, we surrender that to You. And we are safe there when we do that. And bow our knee to God, confess that He is Lord and there is no other. And in terms of salvation, God gives that invitation. He says, turn to Me, all the ends of the earth, and be saved. Why do you want to live your life fighting a sovereign king? You will lose big time. We lose big time every time we sin. But to surrender to Christ, the sovereign King. Turn to Him, all the ends of the earth. Be saved. Say, Jesus is my Lord of my soul. And third, to honor God as sovereign King. Confess that the Lord alone, as the Scripture says, is your righteousness and strength. Confess that the Lord alone is your righteousness and strength. I heard on the radio this morning, Billy Graham offering a book on the Holy Spirit. And he says, everybody has two basic needs. We have needs for forgiveness and needs for goodness. We need forgiveness and we need goodness. And those are two things we don't have apart from Christ. In the Lord alone, our righteousness and strength. And I used to think, boy, if the Christian life and following Christ was just a matter of human strength and willpower and determination, we would all be a lot better off. You know, if it was like, I can walk a quarter of a mile now, If I just push myself and walk a half mile, if following Jesus was like that, I could do that. Or if I just need a little bit more determination, how healthy would I be? But God, throughout the Scripture, and especially through the prophets, sums up by saying this. It's not by might. It's not by human might. It's not by human power. But it's by God's Spirit, says the Lord. When we surrender and we say, only the Holy Spirit can bring the explosion we need to create life from nothing. If there's nothing in our souls, if there's nothing in our churches, wouldn't it be the Lord alone who could exalt Himself as He has this morning through the praises of His people and through the faith He gives us as a gift? Confess that the Lord alone is righteousness and strength, and see your life begin to blossom, because He does say He creates life and blessing, and He can bring streams in the desert if your soul is a desert. And you worry the whole world around you seems a desert. God said he'll be a stream to bring refreshment. Christ will be like the living water welling up to eternal life. And to experience the sovereign lordship of Christ. And it's actually a prophecy that Isaiah gives. He says his people will one day say, in the Lord alone are strength and righteousness. He's our goodness. He's the strength that we need. Would you surrender your life to a sovereign God and say, our God reigns? The Bible says that's good news. Our God reigns. And would you say in your heart, Jesus is Lord and God is in control. So I have comfort and hope that can't be taken away. It's not thin ice of a wish. It's the solid rock of Christ that He'd offer Himself to us this way. Thank the Lord He is a sovereign big God for our troubled souls, and He's able to minister. Might we pray and surrender to Him today. Thank you, Lord. Your Scripture says You are the Lord and there is no other. Lord, that doesn't come as a surprise to us or just like a 2x4 on the side of the head to awaken us, but it comes as good news to set a captive heart free. That it is whatever struggle we have and the future that we face, we can say, the Lord is God, there is no other. How our faith rises to that truth. And we say, lead on, O King Eternal. So might our hearts be surrendered to You today, to walk with faith, humility, love, purpose, serving. We think of the song that was shared. It was said about Jesus, that's just the way He was, because He was God's Son. Might we, as Your children, take on the mantle of Christ as a way of saying thank You for reigning, even in the hearts of us fallen children. Might we follow after You with faith. Bless each heart. Surrender. Just a time, quiet time of surrender to You for a moment.